Hi, this is Georgie.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitute.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood,
This is attempt number two. Okay. Thank you, Kevin, our buddy Kevin, up in somewhere in the Carolinas, I believe, at this time, for letting us know that even though we were connected, the sound wasn't going out. Now it's all fixed, and some people apparently love to hear this. We think you should seek mental help. But welcome back again, Wednesday night. It is 8-ish o'clock now, and this is the Unused Substitute, your Rowdy's Talk Radio for the week. My name is Matt.
I'm Dan.
We're here on Radio St. Pete and on the Beautiful Game Network. Check him out on Twitter at TheBGNFM or online at BGN.FM for other related podcasts from around the USL and the Eastern Conference. So pretty good weekend, Dan.
Was it? I don't remember. No, yeah, it was great. It was a great game to keep the streak going.
I'll get into all the other stuff first. Yeah, but we'll talk about the game. The Rowdies hosted Harrisburg City Islanders, who, if I remember the stats correctly, have not scored in now 405 consecutive minutes after a 3-0 loss, a clean sheet. I mean, it was a game, technically, but this is the kind of game that I think some people expected to see every week when the Rowdies joined USL. Which obviously is not the case, and was, you know, probably an over hype expectation. But that was what we kind of expected to see this club do with some of these weaker teams. And no offense to Harrisburg, but a quick glance at the standings shows that that is one of the teams that falls in that category.
Definitely. I mean, they're sitting at 23. They actually have played more games than us. This must be the one they're playing now must be.
They played last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's it. But they have a negative 11 goal differential, which is second worst in the conference. First being Toronto FC 2 with negative 20. So, yeah, they're bad.
And not bad they're meaning bad. Good, but bad meaning bad.
Yeah, they're absolutely terrible. So that's, you're right. Like, this is what we expect from these teams like that. Apparently, I'm echoing and I sound like the voice of God right now, according to Jake.
I will avert my eyes from the webcam so that I don't offend thee as I gaze into your countenance.
I don't know how to make the echoing stop.
I can't hear it on my end.
That's everything set the same on my microphone. I don't know.
That's very weird.
I need a studio, but I won't yell, so maybe it'll make it better. I don't know.
Maybe. What's your good, bad, ugly again for the people who weren't listening because I did something bad with technology?
Sorry, everybody's telling me I'm echoing. I don't know how to fix this.
That's really weird. I don't know.
I've turned down the gain. That's all I know how to do. That's all that microphone will let me do. But I will say great will be, like, beyond good is the midfield duo of Marcel Schaefer and Justin Chavez. They had an outstanding game that game and has been solid since Chavez's return. I believe the Rowdies just put out a thing today about how we were unbeaten with Chavez in the lineup. So let's hope that continues on the road.
And like, what, something like 8 starts total?
Yeah. So I'll take it. Let's see. We outpossessed the team the little bit that Harrisburg City had the ball. We defended well. It was just everything you wanted from a performance. Just got told him it sounds like I'm broadcasting from heaven. It's everything we wanted from a performance against a team like this. And seeing Matt Pickens celebrate his 100th game with his third straight clean sheet is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna get your 100th appearance and you're gonna get the treatment that Pickens got from the fans, that's a good performance to turn in. Even though he really didn't have to do a whole lot, I think what 2 saves on the entire night, 1 in each half. From the few minutes at Harrisburg seemed to threaten a little bit. Any bads, any uglies?
Harrisburg City is bad and ugly. No, I mean, there's the other good that we jumped up in the standings, tied for a second, just 1 goal in third due to goal differential, only 1 goal behind Charleston Battery. Mm-hmm. 3 points out. So just everything fell into place.
Oh yeah, yeah. I keep getting this stuck in my head. Goal differential isn't the first tiebreaker, but it's the second. The first one is league wins, and we're both.
Oh, we're tied on that.
Yeah, we've identical records. So
yeah. So, everything fell into place last weekend, and hopefully we can keep it up on the road. This has been the main test, right? The road, going on the road, seeing if we can get a road win, and I think. St. Louis, who is sitting at 13th place, is prime and ready for us to take a road win from.
I hope so. To quote one of the greatest bands in American history, or really more to paraphrase, the road is really hard. The road is really tough. Name that band.
It's probably some like 1930s stuff you listen to, old man.
No. It's a band we both enjoy.
It's a band we both enjoy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tenacious D.
Oh, yes. I haven't listened in forever. Lyrics.
Well, if I had
used
if I'd used the actual lyrics, which I can't repeat due to my daughter being like 3 feet behind me and us being on Radio St. Pete, maybe it would have it'd jumped out at you a little bit more.
Probably.
I mean, if I had to, well, let's see. The good overall, I mean, like I said, this is a game where in a perfect situation, you think a team like the Rowdies is going to brush aside a team like Harrisburg City, and it's exactly what happened. Great goals. The setup, the assist from Schaefer to Patterson, they tried that one, I think, twice earlier. Once, I think the cross missed, I think, on the first one. Second time, it got to Patterson, and he headed it. Kind of directly at the keeper, and when he did that, he stopped and just kind of stared the keeper down, stared the goal down for a few minutes, and I kind of thought to myself that if they could set up that same move again, Patterson was bound to score. But and then, you know, short near the end, it did. Walter Restrepo comes off the bench, gets his first goal as a Rowdy, which Stu Campbell said after the game that Restrepo had told him. Had promised him he'd score if he got in this week, and there he did. So he made good on that.
And on both those goals, the Patterson one and the Restrepo one, hell of a run by Patterson. Like, you gift it with how far out he started calling for the ball. And then Walter Restrepo's run from the midfield to get into that position, and Marcel Schaefer's run, like Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, Restrepo chases him down from behind, draws level, you know, right around the 18-yard box, gets the ball and buries it. And that's just, I mean, that gif is made for one of those Bay come over memes.
yeah.
I'm trying to think of the best one to go with it. But yeah, if I had to pick a bad, I would say... I'm pretty sure that should have been a penalty.
Maybe, yeah, but
and when you go back and if you go back and watch the broadcast, because I listened to that when I made the gif of that one. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain about it in the end, but Lee and Mike both felt very strongly, and of course they're the home announcers, but felt very strongly it would be a penalty because there really is no attempt to play the ball.
No, it was just a shoulder out of the way.
He just tries to shoulder him off it, and down goes Georgie, and nothing's given. Maybe in a closer game, maybe that's called. I don't know, but already up, what, 2-0 at that point. The ref kind of waved that off. Another good, I think everyone will agree with this, and I'm just doing this to see if I can make this audio here work. Okay, the audio works. It'd be better if I had picked the right video.
Yes. I'm assuming that's what you were going for.
No, I got this at the beginning. It's on our Instagram account. I mean, everything. And I'm sitting here watching the video again. We've got a loyal listener, Dave, standing there in the front with the green and gold smoke, waving him back and forth, the giant TIFO coming up. We saw a couple sneak peek shots of it. Actually, we saw the whole thing before it was done. An amazing job that the mob
did. Oh, God.
As far as the TIFO and just the atmosphere throughout the game.
Do we have anybody else coming up on 100 games?
Tam could get there.
Yeah,
like
I hope.
5 or 6 away.
Yeah, because I would love to see that. Just mostly because I want to see the mob TIFO. Like they go their TIFO game is pretty strong, but then when it comes to celebrate a player, it's above and beyond. And it was a hell of a display. Kudos to the mob for the TIFO and the chanting his name. And the chant that ended the game was probably one of my favorites.
I was gonna, yeah. So you, me, and Patrick, we're all down on the field probably the last 5-10 minutes. Restrepo scores that goal, and you start hearing the chant coming from the stands. And Patrick, will give him credit here, correctly identified it first as "What's your safe word?" We thought that it was actually just Marcel Schaefer, and it made sense syllabically. But then I talked to some guys after the game, and no, it was indeed "What's your safe word," which was fantastic.
Yeah, that we need more of that. I know that the Marcel Schaefer, there is a chant for him that has to do with
wives
sharing. yeah, but. And rightfully so. I mean, he's my man of the match.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. His passing, his 2 assists and we kind of talked about this, I know, on Twitter after the game, like Joe Cole is the name that everybody knows, except maybe the native Germans. I'm sure they know his name, but I think Marcel might be a bigger name than Marcel is absolutely the guy running this team right now.
And has been for a while, and this isn't a shot at Joe Cole. Joe Cole is, the legend that is Joe Cole. But Marcel Schaefer has been quietly the engine of this team, in a Wolfsburg Jetta version, edition of a Jetta. Just absolutely fantastic. He seems to single-handedly control that midfield, and with his passing coming and bombing up the left-hand side there, it's just causing defense fits. So again, kudos to Stu for changing the system to allow that to happen. But Marcel Schaefer has made this team since he's pretty much settled in, has made this team his own, in my opinion. And I am 130% on the Marcel Schaefer bandwagon.
I chatted online with some of the Cincinnati fans from the Cincy podcast, like before we played them. Still haven't gotten those beers, by the way. Hopefully soon. Mm-hmm. I know they've got my address. It'll get here. I'm not worried about it. And they had kind of said, they started out their season on kind of a rough stretch, and it took a changing of the shape to kind of kick them in gear. And now they're hanging out near the bottom of the playoff spots. They're in contention right now. And it kind of feels ever since that Charleston game that that's what's happened here. Like it's watching. It's like watching a whole different team from the beginning of the season.
Oh yeah.
I mean, don't forget, I mean, we went 3-0 at the beginning of the season, but that 0-7 stretch, this is a totally different team right now.
Yeah, and hopefully Joe Cole's okay and healthy. But if earlier in the year, if you would have told me that that there's a possibility of Joe Cole missing a game or two because of an injury, I'd be like, oh, our midfield is screwed. But it's like Marcel Schaefer's got it. And Chavez, and let's not, I mean, this is a shout out to Chavez too, because he's absolutely been fantastic there too. And now that Nano's healthy, like, it does, losing Joe Cole is not catastrophic. Yes, it sucks because you don't want to lose a talent like Joe Cole for any amount. And I'm not saying he's hurt. He might play this weekend. We have no injury report there whatsoever.
No, the only thing I would say is we did see him, you know, last few minutes of the game, hanging out in the dugout, watching it.
Yeah.
T-shirt, shorts, no, like, you know, no ice packs or bandages. So, looked okay.
He does need a rest.
Oh, he does, absolutely. And I totally don't have a problem with him sitting out, you know, maybe this game in St. Louis, and taking a breather for a little bit. Because I think, like you said, you know, with Nano coming back, with Schaefer, with the job Chavez has done, and you know, going back even further, like Kyle Porter has. You know, if he hadn't had the kind of breakout performances by Schaefer over the last few games and the goals from Morel and everything else, Porter might be kind of the focus of attention right now. He's been so good back there at the fullback position.
100%. Just completely calm, composed on the ball, and just holding down that right side. And that's not an offense, like any offense to Darnell. Darnell is prone to some giveaways, some silly ones at times. And so Kyle's just seems to be a little bit calmer presence on that side. And I think we talked about it last week about Porter and Zach Portillos on the left-hand side coming back from his injuries. And it feels like it's not even – he hasn't missed a beat.
No, and if you, you know, kind of watch the first, you know, several games of the season, you might have thought, here's a guy who's not going to see a lot of time. You know, scored that one crazy goal and to open up the Open Cup match, and it seemed like that would be where he'd get kind of his minutes this year. And I don't want to call it an exhibition, but, you know, not in league play or not in kind of high profile games. But he's come in and been a really solid player. And talk about what, three games now with no goals allowed. I mean, he's been a big part of that. So,
and so is Matt Pickens' gloves. Screw Adidas, it's the gloves.
Who makes those gloves?
Clue Pro.
And where are they based?
I believe over in England.
Yeah, little place called Derby.
Yeah.
Okay. We really should get sponsored for that one. I will wear them while we do the show if we have to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna work that plug in no matter what. So.
So another, since we're talking about Schaefer, my post-game Schaefer story. So we didn't get a chance to talk to him after the game when we did the kind of interview circuit. Pickens and Neil Collins, Neil bagging a goal with his feet was a fun occasion to have. But after we were done with that, so we all exited the stadium. And I saw, like, you know, Jesse from the Mob and Steven from Skyway Casuals. And I was like, I'm going to go over there and say hi real quick. I didn't realize they were over there with Schaefer. Schaefer, who is still, like, in his uniform. He doesn't have his jersey on. He's got, like, a T-shirt on a shirt, you know, still pouring sweat, shoes, shorts, everything. And he's roped these guys in to film this little video that's going to pop up soon. About the beginning of the Bundesliga season, and I happened to wedge my way into that, and Marcel gave us he had this whole thing typed out, like what he wanted to say in German. He gave us like German speaking lessons. We had to do a couple takes because one or two of them, our German wasn't quite as good as he wanted it to be. But he's all pumped for this, and he sat there and, like, you know, shot it on his phone, and I guess they'll edit together to do something. So we'll see that pretty soon. That was kind of fun to do.
Nice. My Marcel Schaefer story is he's probably single-handedly quadrupled the Tampa Bay Rays attendance by taking his two kids.
Zing.
And Jake has done what Jake does, and Tam is only at 84 appearances.
See, someone was saying like 94 or 95 last week.
Yeah, sure. But Jake has him at 84, and he'd have to start every game, and they'd make the final for it to be 100. So, yeah, it's not this season.
Yeah, probably not this season. By the way, it was awesome having Jake in town. I think we're going to get together for the, you know, as we typically do. I know we missed him last time, but the we'll call it the Unsub Summer Meetings, I guess.
Yeah, I think
point.
Patrick wants to join us, too.
Nice.
So I got to text him and let him know Friday.
Can we arrange for Spencer to be flown in?
Yeah, Ryan, please.
Yeah. We can't know, but if someone else could, that'd be nice.
There's the other thing that I want to point out about this game is the fact that we didn't get a yellow card.
No, and I was going to bring this up as my stat of the match. We talked about it in the preview. Harrisburg has been whistled for the most fouls in the league. They picked up another 18 and what, three yellows, I think, for Harrisburg.
Yep.
Meanwhile, no yellows and six fouls total. Like this, it feels like we've been throwing the phrase complete game around a lot recently in this run, but this really was, I mean, offensively, defensively, and discipline-wise, the most complete game we've seen in a long time.
Yeah. To put my stat of the match out there, it would be Marcel Schaefer's 97.4 passing accuracy. Jeez. With 78 passes, mind you. Five key passes, 97.4% passing accuracy. And to complement that, you had Justin Chavez with 52 passes and 96.2% passing accuracy. I believe Mike or the team put it out there as well.
I think Mike
on
was,
Twitter.
Yeah.
And that was just that. I was a little upset because that was my stat of the match from the weekend. And, you know, he's on top of it like usual, as he should, since he works for the team. But I'm right there. Like that's insane from your two, you know, midfielders, at two out of your three midfielders there. It was great. So that's it. We played great.
Yeah, it turns out that the Rowdies are good at the soccer ring.
Who knew? I mean, it felt. Remember when it felt like all doom and gloom, and we were terrible, and we were counting to see if maybe we'd still make the playoffs. And here we are. It's a funny thing. Soccer is a funny thing.
Here we are on points with one goal out of second place, and depending on what happens tonight, because Charlotte is playing right now in Toronto. Toronto, who knocked off Charleston. I guess you could really say Charleston knocked themselves off, but still. So Charlotte, feel free to go ahead and not win tonight would be cool. Even a draw, I guess, wouldn't be all bad. A win would put us a point ahead of them. I'm sure they play this weekend too. But nice little way to go into the current playoff standings, because there's been a bit of a shakeup. Charleston took over the top spot. I mean, not Charleston, Charlotte, sorry. Took over the top spot with 39 points. Charleston and Rowdies tied right behind them in 37. Louisville and Rochester. Rochester won last night, beat Harrisburg. Louisville and Rochester have 35 points. Cincinnati, 31. Bethlehem, 30. And Red Bull, 27. So I know we talked a little bit about this, I think it was on Twitter earlier in the week. I'm totally lost as to when I say early in the week, and it's only Wednesday, because last Friday it started, like, I went back to work for this school year, and I've been locked up basically in my classroom for 2.5 days getting things ready. The kids come back tomorrow morning, and I'm like, is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? I have no idea. But we were talking about the B teams and the two teams, you know, making the playoffs and you know, a championship game contested by the two teams last year. Right now, as it stands, you know, there's only two teams in contention really in the East, and that's Bethlehem and Red Bull too. So I don't know if, you know, the independent teams are stepping it up, or whether it was a case of, I mean, I don't really know how last USL season went, but whether they're peaking early and playoffs are going to be a different thing. But I kind of like the way things are trending at the moment. If the season ended today, we'd be playing Cincinnati in the playoffs, which would be a fun matchup.
And it would be here.
Yes, it would be here. We're still in those home playoff spots, which is the ideal situation to be in. Anything else to say about the game?
It was great. More of that. Let's take it to the road and kick some St. Louis FC booty. Do they have like a nickname? Like, are they just St. Louis?
They're just St. FC? Louis, yeah. I think so.
Well, let's pretend they are the Cardinals or something. The Rams. Let's pretend they're the Rams. We're going to call them the Rams. That's it. They're the Rams.
It was Louisville. I get the Louis mixed up. The Louisville fans and Cincinnati fans really don't get along. So the Louisville fans were like, you know what? We're tired of calling these guys our rivals because they're just kind of jerks all the time. So we're going to have, they ran like an online poll to choose their new rivals. And it's the Decepticons.
I'm all about that.
Yeah. That was kind of, you know, like banter's gone to a certain level when it's like, we don't even want to talk to you guys anymore.
I mean, I don't feel that way about almost the Cosmos. We're getting there outside of like the Cosmo country guys, but I never felt that way, but I don't really engage too much with the opposing fans in a negative way.
No, we haven't done this that much this year. The game day morning gift battles.
Yeah. We should get back to that.
We can get back into that. We start picking on people in the mornings and sending gifts their way.
So, side note, I was just glanced at the monitor for the standings, and I'm looking, and then there's just like a gray line, and Orlando City B has only drawn their last five games, so just a gray line.
Yeah, for the form guide. Meanwhile, us in Sacramento are four wins out of five.
Yeah, if we can win two more in a row, that whole thing will be green, and I'll be a very happy person.
Could do that. What, it's St. Louis away and then Ottawa at home?
Yep. It's very possible that we could have an all-green form bar.
I'll take that.
Max. And that would also, wouldn't that be our like longest win streak in history? Where's my, because that was at three, I thought.
I think if we win this weekend, it's the longest win streak in modern era. If we can, you know, get all green.
I have the handy-dandy media guide here.
There you go. Get all green in the form guide, you know, max out our health stat, then we can unleash our finishing move, and then that's how that works, right?
I believe so.
All right. So the game itself was fantastic on the pitch. I had a great time off. You know, we were just hanging out kind of in the parking lot before, sold a couple scarves to some friends. But I had people, some of my friends from Sarah, like I'm just sitting there eating my tacos, you know, getting stuff set up. People start bringing me beers. I actually got to try the Iron Maiden, Trooper beer, which is not bad. It's no,
really?
It's not too bad. It's like, it was a golden ale. It's not too bad. It's pretty, like you think a beer named after like a heavy metal band or something would be, I don't know, like a bitter or a stout or something like that, but no, it was pretty good. And then someone brought me a picture frame with they found in the store that says "You are my sunshine," you know, our scarf motto for the year, with some pictures of me holding up the scarf either in the stands or down on the pitch after games. So it was a great night overall. And then the Schaefer thing afterwards, like that's the most fun I've had, I think, total, on and off the field in this season, probably.
It looks like it was a four-game win streak in 2012. So this week, if we win, it ties it. We'll and tie then it if up. We beat Ottawa, it would be the longest streak.
All right, so let's do it then.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, it was a lot of fun on and off the field.
I forgot what I was going to say. Anyway, I had a ton of fun. Met a couple people, came up to us, said they were, you know, listeners, loved the show. I'm always frightened when that happens because it scares me that people are as into it as we are. But we appreciate it. We appreciate the love. I don't always know how to respond to compliments. So if I ever come off as being insincere, I swear I'm not. I'm just dumbfounded that anyone puts any value on this, but I'm glad you guys do. We appreciate it.
Most definitely. It's kind of still a very weird feeling because, I mean, especially me, I forget that we actually have people listening, and it's just in my head I have to keep it a conversation between you and I. otherwise I might get a little too anxious or something.
Right.
So when people are like, oh, I love what you do, I'm like, you actually heard that? And I get a little weird, but I love it and I appreciate it.
Like, I almost want to like stop and sit down and look in a mirror while someone takes a picture of me, pondering the what I'm going to do with my life. This is amazing video, right? We gotta start opening the video feed up so people can watch the ferret trying to get like eat your headphones.
She's gonna try to steal them off my head, but she climbed it. She literally, because I lowered the chair to get to the microphone. Oh my god! So she climbed up my shorts and then jumped and is now on top of my head, trying to pull the headphones off my head. This is. She doesn't usually do this, but she really wants the headphones.
She's got something to say. Does she? She have a good, bad, ugly?
I don't. You want talking to the microphone? There you go. There's the microphone. What are you doing? I don't trust you.
Like you're wearing like a fur around your neck. Now. Yeah.
You're not going on the desk. Here, go on the bed.
All right. So we'll move on to our other news. And there's really nothing team wise news. Marshall Schaefer made team of the week. Congratulations, well deserved. And it's off the top of my head. Someone was on the bench. I think it was Neil. Neil was on the bench for team of the week. So congratulations.
As Neil should be.
Yeah. You think Neil should be on the bench?
No, for team of the week, maybe. Not on the actual bench. He should be with – yeah.
I'm
going to
tell Scottish Superman you think he should not be starting.
Yeah.
I'm going to find him down here in Bradenton. I know where he hangs out.
I'm trying to find – do they not put one
down? It's like right at the very bottom of the article. They like you know they don't do a picture or anything of it.
I'm just trying to find the team of the week.
Oh, look on the player of the week announcement. It's usually thrown in there. That's where I saw it.
Save the week. Oh, there it is, right in front of me on a banner that says team of the week. Here it is, and bench. Neil Collins, Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Well, poutine. All right.
Ew.
So the other league news. Both these happened this week, right? The second one, yeah. I did not even notice until I got home and was like putting together show notes. That's how like out of the loop I am with this this back to school week. USL has announced, Birmingham will be an Eastern Conference team, I assume, or would they be Central? Well, I mean, next year they'll be Eastern.
They haven't, I mean, until they figure out how they're going to do this conference thing, but they should be Eastern for next year.
Yeah. I mean, they said they're sticking with two for next year. So, but that mean I got to go look at a map and see exactly where in Alabama Birmingham is. But, so they've gone to Birmingham to announce a new team for 2019, not for next year. Oh, so it won't even be, it might not be Eastern because they're not coming in until 19. This is not the pre-existing Birmingham Hammers. Who what, are they? Are they NPSL? Or are they?
I no idea. I honestly know nothing about Alabama.
Perkins could probably tell us.
Yeah, where's he? Where's that beard when we need it?
In Alabama, I assume. but they're not the existing team, but they do have what their vice president. For the USL club is one of the founders of it. They went out of their way several times to mention Birmingham in the press conference. So I was kind of implying there's going to be some sort of connection there.
I just want to go on record saying I've been trying not to make a Leonard Skinner joke, but every time like you say Birmingham, I just want to be like, did you know they love the governor
down in Birmingham?
Yeah, anyway.
Nice. that could be a fun road trip.
My brown Jewish ass is not going anywhere near Birmingham, Alabama.
See, I've got ancestors like you know my dad. I'm going way back there from the south, so I can get along with it. I could just say that you're like you know you're my son or something.
In all seriousness, I'm all about going on that road trip. Yeah, I mean, especially Perkins makes it like every home game anyway. House.
I know. So he's got a pick now, doesn't he? Does he have?
Yeah. So I would go there, hang out, and if he does choose the Birmingham team, then go say hi to him and watch some fun on the road and some good banter.
I think he's got to. I think he has to get tickets for both clubs, and anytime Birmingham's away and the Rowdies are home, then he's got to come down here.
Yeah, that would. I mean, it's not my money, so yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
We're great at doing stuff with other people's money, just like most of soccer Twitter in general. So that's pretty cool. They're going to play in PDL next year, kind of like what Nashville did this year before Nashville steps up to USL next year. I know they used to call it USL Pro. It should be like USL Prime.
Prime.
You have USL PDL, then USL Prime. It just sounds cooler. USL Actual, if we're going to get Battlestar Galactica sounding on it.
We can skip that.
I mean, not everybody's a sci-fi and soccer nerd.
I mean, I like some sci-fi, but
do you ever watch Battlestar Galactica? Far.
No.
You should.
Probably. I've been told that quite often from a lot of my friends.
I think you'd enjoy it. Edward James Olmos, several wildly attractive women. I think you'd have a good time with it. Be pretty good.
That's the key to my heart.
You know, I know what you like. The other team was announced, I believe, today? And it's not really...
So I know, Kevin just tweeted, don't go to Alabama. Haven't you seen My Cousin Vinny? Touche. You were right.
To be fair, My Cousin Vinny had Marissa Tomei in it. So that's, you know, if there's a chance she's in Alabama, then I'm going. I'm not going to even try and deny that. But this isn't really a new club so much as it is finally the return of Austin. Now, so Austin Aztecs existed before, but Ottawa's and formerly Tampa Bay's Paul Dalglish coached them. They up and moved to somewhere in Central Florida and became a different team whose name we won't mention on the air. And then a second USL team using the same name, Austin Aztecs, started after they left and were forced out of their field, their home stadium, for flooding issues and weren't able to locate or secure a new playing ground. So kind of went on hiatus. And that's been the question for a while is, when's Austin coming back? When's Austin coming back? Are they coming back? I kind of, you know, briefly read through the article. There's a new majority partner and owner and everything. They've found a location. Looks like they're going to build a new stadium on a site, possibly. But they've got a new playing location, so they're going to return in 2019 as well. The thing I thought was interesting was reading through that article and looking at renderings and stuff like that. I see a lot of USL Austin. I didn't see Austin Aztecs mentioned anywhere. So I don't know if with this new guy taking over, if he's reserving the right to potentially change the name. I hope they keep the name, but either way, I'm glad Austin has a team back at least.
I believe they're sticking with the Aztecs name, but don't quote me on that. And then rumors are that the Las Vegas team will be announced shortly as well. So expansion, expansion, expansion.
Yeah, now Vegas, I think, is going to be a 2018 team. These two, Birmingham and Austin, are going to be 2019. We've got Fresno, coming in for next year as well. And not to be left out, the Remember Me League, NASL, stepped up and announced.
California United.
That's like one of those names when you're playing like a soccer game on your phone.
We're playing
California United.
Yeah, because they didn't license like the LA Galaxy, so it's just California United. Right. And I mean, there's rumors swirling that the Deltas are folding at the end of the. Regardless of MLS push or anything, Bill Edwards made a great decision on getting us out of that league and into USL because we are on firm, firm ground.
Yeah. At the same time, like, I hope, you know, those clubs can turn it around and everyone stays employed and playing and whatever else. But, starting to look pretty obvious now why us in Ottawa at least left the league. Even hearing possibilities that Edmonton may be ready to throw in the towel, not overall, but on NASL, and you know, just go ahead and make the jump to
Canadian Premier League,
even if it means possibly sitting out a year or whenever they're going to get up and started. But I think that's kind of an if not when I mean, a when, not if kind of situation. Like, that's going to happen.
Don't worry, California United.
California Dream. So that's the saving grace for them. Now, are they supposed to...
The Mamas and the Papas or California United?
No, California United. Are they supposed to start playing next year? Because I just saw the tweet. I didn't bother actually, you know, reading more into it than that.
I got the email, and I didn't. I'm very upset I didn't read it, because then I signed on to Twitter, and everybody was very upset by like getting a press release email describing United and how it's different than the other Uniteds, even though it is the same exact United.
Oh, they're doing this. We're going to be different and innovative. Did the guy that left Fort Lauderdale for San Francisco? Did he leave there to go to California? So where are they playing?
I know nothing about California. Let's do a quick little Google search here.
It's almost like we have a giant network of machines that can give us this information.
No, California United Bank. Oh, well, that's going to get confusing if there's a California United Bank.
Arthur Blank is not going to let that fly.
That literally is the only thing that comes up.
Is this the one that Wijnaldum's coaching?
I think so. Okay, let's go NASL. Let's Google it, because it literally only came up the California United Bank, so that's not going to get us anywhere.
Probably has a better future.
Yeah, unless Bernie Sanders. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, here we go. California grown NASL's Cal United takes on OC Challenge. So they're going to be an Orange County team where there's already a USL team playing. So that'll be interesting.
I can't even find it on their site.
I literally just searched Google for Cal United, and it came up on Soccer America. They're going to start playing next year along with the unnamed San Diego team that's supposed to start playing next year in NASL.
So, side note, I'm looking at the website, and they do have them on the top bar, Cal United and San Diego. But Cal United is literally a white brick, and in black font it says Cal United, and it says like 2018, it looks like. And then San Diego is just the NASL logo.
All right, here we go.
Here's
the Cal United will work closely with the LA Wolves, the SoCal amateur powerhouse that California United's owner has sponsored for the last 2 years. It's been coached this season by Eric Wijnaldum, who has had great success finding talented players in Southern California. They're going to play at 10,000-seat Titan Stadium at the campus of Cal State Fullerton. There is already the LA Galaxy and Carson LAFC, which debuts in Los Angeles in 2018. USL's Orange County SC is Cal United's closest competitor. In one form or another, USL has been in Orange County since 2011, but teams have struggled to draw. The Blues, who they used to be called OC Blues, failed to reach an average of 1,000 fans a game for their first four seasons, currently averaging 2,735 at UC Irvine's Anteater Stadium, but are moving into their own soccer stadium.
Orange County. There's an OC team?
Yeah.
If every time that OC, if they're like OC whatever, if they get scored on, they need to play that "What You Say" song.
What you say?
Yeah, like every time there's a goal that goes in, that should be played, or the fans should sing it.
What you say?
But yeah, that's probably why I don't own a soccer team. Not the fact that I don't have any money,
because all you have are the emo soundtracks for them.
Yeah. So, remember how I said like it was getting derided? So it says Rancho Santa Margarita, California, August 8th, 2017. The word United is so common in the soccer world that it's lost much of its meaning. But California United Football Club, one of the newest clubs in the North American Soccer League, has made it the watchword for their entire operation. The club, based in Orange County, intends to tap into the massive grassroots soccer fervor alive and thriving in Southern California. The aim is to exemplify the word United, not just through performances on the field, but from the ground up, from scouting to player relations, backroom operations, front office, and fan base. That is how their press release started yesterday.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's bad.
Wow. Well, good luck to him, I guess. I don't know.
I got nothing to you. Don't worry.
Soccer is impossible to predict in this country right now. Of all the things that are impossible to predict in this country, soccer is, you know, maybe top five at the moment.
If only we could be united in a common goal.
I think we need to steal the momentum. We've got to become Tampa Bay Rowdies United, not to be confused with Tampa Bay United Rowdies, the youth club side. But we should just go ahead and do that.
Yep, just everybody be united.
Everyone. Villages United. St. Pete Strikers United. Why not bring them in too? Armada United.
Nah, screw them.
No. Yeah, forget them. All right, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
So we really didn't have a whole lot to talk about this week. Hopefully next week we'll have another win to talk about. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We love yous for the week.
Rouse Mob for a fantastic display vocally and visually. To Matt Pickens. To I'll Never Do This Again. To Daisha for coming out after the game. And everybody else who listens and tolerated my echoey, godlike voice tonight.
I'm just mad I missed out on it because you've sounded perfectly fine over here. At least the podcast version won't have the echo, I assume.
Hopefully not. But, I mean, I sound great in my headphones, too, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, I'm a legend in my own mind, so I know how that works. My mom says I'm special. We love you. Same thing. Special shout-outs, and I did this on Twitter, but I want to do it on the show, too. Matt Pickens threw his jersey and the captain's armband to people in the mob after he went up there and led them in the chant. Walter Restrepo, I saw give his jersey to a young kid who was there with a pediatric cancer organization. They had him holding a sign over and said "Survivor," so I'm assuming all good things.
I think it's the Go Gold.
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, I felt really bad because I'm looking at it. You know, like, sometimes you have, you know, something on one side, something on the other. And I was just like, please tell me that says Survivor on both sides. Like, what's the opposite side of that? I'm choosing to think positive. Martin Vingard gave out several pairs of cleats to kids waiting at the wall for autographs. Like, he was going back in the dugout, getting more and handing them back and forth. So, it's just cool to see stuff like that. Like, that's, I don't know.
This group, the chemistry between them and like the connection for the connection seems strongest between this team and the fans this year. Like, there's just a bond finally completely, there that I can think of. I don't think I can, it's possible for me to love this team anymore, but they're just a good, solid group of guys. And they're just, I mean, I left not long. I left a little bit before you, but there were still players. Like you said, Marcel was out on the field. Players were still signing. Like, you almost, it's, and even though the stadium's mostly empty, but these guys are taking their time. Vingard. So this team is fantastic. And did we give the Tampa Bay Metro guys a shout?
Oh, yeah, we got to mention them. Yeah. They played, well, first of all, two great tweets, because speaking of Los Angeles, they're playing out at the World Police and Fire Games. And I guess they're playing at, I don't know, are their games actually taking place at the LA Coliseum? Or
I think so.
That just kind of the central, like, hub for all the events going on. Either way, they're out there playing in L.A. They posed for a picture in front of an LAFC crest and mentioned that they may have stashed a rowdy scarf somewhere in the stadium. So respect for that. And then they won tonight over a NYPD team 4-2. So congrats to those guys. Good luck. I meant to like tell them to give us a call, leave us a voicemail with the results so far, and I'd find a way to play it on air, but I didn't get around to it. But hopefully, when we come back next week, we'll have some more information about them, more good results. Hopefully,
I need to set like alerts for them so I don't miss their game tweets.
Yeah, turn your notifications on for those guys.
Whoop. There we go.
I like your sound
so
effects.
I don't miss that.
This is very classy.
What?
I like your sound effects.
Oh.
Thank you to everyone who helps support the show, whether it's through Patreon. You can sign up at patreon.com/theunusedsubspod. Different perks for different levels. Starts anywhere, you know, like $5 all the way up to like 20. Give more, give less if you want to. If you feel like it, that's fine. We love it. I just got the I just saw the tweet now about my cousin Vinny. Thank you to you guys if you have subscribed or signed up for Fubo through our site. If you've bought scarves, we still have two left to get picked up. It's those two people that names I don't even recognize but are in our PayPal account. So I'll figure it out. We've got like, let's say 14 or 13 left, something like that. I'll go double check. Don't forget to go vote for us. Voting is still open for, I want to say like another 2 weeks or so on Best of the Bay. Best local podcast under People, Places, and Politics. If you enjoy the show, you listen to the podcast version. If you give us a rating and review, especially good ones on Apple Podcast, on Google Play, on Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever it is you're listening to, then that puts us in front of more people. And we can affect more lives in a positive manner. Thank you, as always, to our good friends Wolfface for awesome theme music, to Radio St. Pete for giving us an outlet to stream this on when I remember how to work the software, to our friends at Shamrock, who we will be watching the game with this weekend. At least I will. You'll be watching somewhere.
I have a family dinner, so I'll be watching at my mom's house.
Families. This is your family now.
I mean, it's a Sunday. It's our last family dinner of the summer, so oh well.
And then our good buddies up at Big Storm for making
our beer. I love those guys.
And giving us free beer also on Saturday. We appreciate that. That has been it for this week on the Unused Substitutes. We will see you next time, and let's go wreck the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, rail the Rams. No, wait, no.
Whoa.
I mean, did you not get that email about, like, pounding the hounds? So, like, rail the Rams.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't want to do that either. No.
Anyway, goodbye. Have a nice night.
See ya.
The Rams were there, the Rams were there, they get along.